May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I wonder just how many of you have got gloves in your pocket this morning. Can we have a show of hands if you've got a glove in your pocket? A fair few of you. It's obviously not got quite cold enough for everybody to have gloves at the moment. Now, a glove can do all sorts of things. It can be used to pick up my notes. I can wave. Scratch my head. Could come and pat you on the back. But this glove can do nothing if I take my hand out of it. All it can do is lie there. Doesn't matter what I do, I can poke and prod, but it's not going to do anything. It's not going to move. Without the hand inside, the glove is little more than a piece of knitting, a piece of leather, or just an ordinary piece of cloth. And maybe we can all be like the glove. Without help, the glove is of limited interest. But with help, the glove can become a bit more exciting. It can change. It can become useful, interesting, or even beautiful. The glove just needs a little help. The themes that come from today's readings are those of being faithful and being prepared. Are we prepared to faithfully put on the glove so that it then becomes useful, interesting, or beautiful? In the reading from the prophet Zephaniah, we heard what would happen to the Jews who had become complacent about their faith. To the Jews, this was a hard message. They were a people who believed that their relationship with God was based on obedience, which comes from faith, and that they were God's chosen people. Paul continues this theme as he writes to the Thessalonians. Paul is preparing this faithful Christian community for the second coming, for the unknown time when Christ will return, reminding them of their need to behave in ways that are appropriate for children of the light, the children of the daytime, those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God, reminding them of the protection accorded them by faith, hope, and love. In the Gospel reading, we heard the parable of the talents. Now, this parable is set in the final section of Matthew's Gospel, and that is preparing the disciples for the time of Jesus' death, when they will no longer see Jesus, but will have tasks to perform as they await his return. And it's in this context that Jesus tells the parable to illuminate the situation they will face. It is a story of a landlord looking for help from his slaves. He needs them to make his money grow while he is away. So he gives each of his slaves a certain amount of money according to their ability. Now, the slaves do not know when the landlord will return, and therefore each of them reacts to this responsibility differently. And so the slaves were given each a number of talents according to their skill. In this story, a talent is money. And with each talent being equivalent today to about 15 years worth of wages. So rather a lot of money. And it's from this parable that we get the interpretation of a talent as a skill, a gift, something we do well. But these slaves have been entrusted with a huge amount of wealth. Imagine yourselves being given suddenly that responsibility for such a colossal amount of money. Even just 15 years worth of wages at one time would be a huge responsibility. But it's not just for its safe return, it's for its growth too. How would that feel? That is a huge responsibility. So what of these three slaves? Why did they react as they did? And what was their motivation? Now, the first two slaves we know very little about. We don't know what their motivation was. It may have been the expectation of a reward. It may have been that they too were afraid of the absent landlord. Or it may be that they just wanted to be faithful, to be true and honest to their landlord. Whatever the motivation, we know that they pleased the absent landlord because they both doubled his money and they were both rewarded accordingly. But the third slave, we're told unequivocally, was afraid. This fear prevented him from looking positively at the present or into the future. All this slave could see was the condemnation that he would receive from the landlord. So I think the question for us is, how do we react when we are fearful, when we are afraid? Now, maybe those first two slaves were afraid. Let's think that they may have been. So do we act like that first slave and throw ourselves wholeheartedly into what needs to be done? Or are we like the second slave who does a bit of the work? Or do we react like the third slave and bury our head in the sand? If we don't do anything, maybe nothing bad will happen. We will all react differently. So I can't say how any one of us reacts, but we will all have our own default position when we're afraid. And it would be really easy to say that Jesus didn't mean what he said to that third slave at the end, about the third slave being thrown out and there being weeping and gnashing of teeth as the worthless slave was thrown out into the darkness. But we need to remember the context in which Jesus was telling this parable. He was nearing Jerusalem. He was approaching his own death, the time when he would be thrown out into the darkness. He was preparing his disciples for his imminent death. But typically, the interpretation of this parable is not about money, but it's about how we use God's gifts to us. Let us consider how we receive the gift of being disciples of Christ. For that is what we're all called to be. And that is the gift that is offered and the gift that we have received. So just as the glove sits here lifelessly, unable to do anything without a hand being placed in it, we too need to be filled. We may be unaware that we're sitting here waiting to be filled or even refilled this morning. But as we come to the altar rail to receive God's blessing, his Eucharistic meal, we will be filled. As when the glove is filled with our hand and it becomes useful, interesting, or beautiful, so it is when we are filled with God's Spirit. We too become more useful, interesting, even beautiful. Having received God's gift, will we be actively faithful? God is trusting us with his wealth, that colossal wealth that was offered to the slaves. And we have been entrusted with gifts that are extremely valuable. Gifts that we're not just the caretaker of, but the investor, the developer, and the speculator. As a parish, we are actively involved in changing and taking risks. But that should not allow us, either as a community or as individuals, to become complacent. For it is not the quantity of talents that we receive, whether it is 5, 2, or 1. What matters rather is how we use them. Our challenge, both as a community of believers and as individuals, is to be continually refilled by God, like the hand in the glove, and then to be and act as disciples of Christ, using the gifts of God to grow the kingdom here on earth. So will we be like the third slave, like the glove without the hand, and hide our gift, bury it out of sight, that no one sees that we have received a gift from God? Or will we use God's gift, letting the light shine out, being the people that God has called us to be, and doubling the value of our gift, just as those first two slaves did? Amen.